Hi, everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass. You're listening to It's All About Food. This is a special time for me. I have been doing this program, It's All About Food, since 2009 on the Progressive Radio Network. And I've gotten a lot of interesting feedback over the years. The person I'm speaking to today, the person you're going to hear about in a moment, reached out to me in April of 2020. And she mentioned that she had listened to a particular program on It's All About Food. And it actually was part of something that changed her life. And I was very humbled to hear that story. It's been about a year and a half since she first reached out to me. And now we're going to hear exactly what happened and where it led her. Are you ready for this? I am. So my guest is Desiree Marzen. And she heard an interview with me speaking with Will Bonsall, who remembers that. He was such a fascinating person. Some people may say that he is eccentric, but he is very passionate and very smart and very focused on what it is he wants and what he thinks we should be doing for the planet. He's a veganic farmer who lives a very special life. So I'm going to bring Desiree on now and hear more about that. Desiree, thank you for reaching out to me, and I can't wait to hear your story.
As I was hearing your introduction, I said, I'm ready to hear this. I'm totally here. I'm totally ready to hear this. I, as well, feel like being on this program, after being an avid listener for many, many years, I feel like I'm coming full circle. So I'm very, very gracious, very humbled myself to be here and share my story. Like Will, I'm also a storyteller, and I love hearing people's stories. And I find that stories do reveal something to us, either something about our past, something about what's happening currently, or where we might be going. So
That's wonderful. Before we jump in, I'm reminded of when you first reached out and you wanted me to talk to Will again. So I contacted him and he explained that now wasn't a good time. Things were in a lot of chaos and he would get back to me. Unfortunately, he never did. And maybe we'll learn more about that in a moment. But he had sent me a story that he had written when I had first interviewed him. He told me he did other things. And I said, I really wanted to read this book that he wrote. So he had sent it to me. When I reached out to him again, I reminded him that not only did I interview him, but I read this story he had sent me. And he told me that his computer had just crashed and he didn't have the story anymore. So he asked me to send it back to him. And I was so glad I was able to do that. So all of these things, I don't know, one thing leads to another, and it all brings back good. Because I think with the three of us, our intentions are good, pure, true.
I really believe that as well. I'm wondering, do you remember what the name of the story was?
Yes.
Abuelita's Secret?
It was, yes, Abuelita's Secret. Yeah.
Yeah. He works with telling stories from characters who you would think, oh, well, that character, they would totally go this route. And then it turns out that they don't go that route. They go against the grain. And it turns out that person wasn't even him. Like Abuelita's Secret is about, it's kind of told with, oh my gosh, I'm drawing a blank. But
The Lone Ranger.
The Lone Ranger. But we actually find out that the Lone Ranger, he was nothing compared to his partner, his love interest. And she was kind of like the bridge, the mind. But yes, we do have it. It's saved. And he's working on others. He's about 98% completed with his part two to Through the Eyes of a Stranger, a veganic eco novel that a lot of people... he gets emails for him every day, like, when's part two coming out? When's part two coming out? So it's in the works.
Excellent. Okay, so back to you. You heard about Will, and then what did you do? And who were you at that time?
At that time, I think this was 2016. I think it was 2016, 2017. And I was listening to It's All About Food, and I was retouching photos at a photography studio in Chelsea. Mm. And I had heard Will. I'm sure this was 2017. 2016. 2016, I had made the switch at a certain point. 15, 16, I made the switch to vegan after hearing, I was listening to you, I was listening to Gary Null, I was listening to a bunch of people, and I was in a relationship that wasn't going very well. And it was, you know, you're the one with the problem. You're the one with the problem. And I said, oh, okay. And you don't have any problems at all. Nope, I'm totally adjusted. And I said, okay, well, you must be telling me the truth. So I should listen to you. And so I heard a study that vegans are less angry because they're not consuming meat. And I said, that's enough for me, right? So I made the switch, and I'm still vegan till this day. And for me, the health factor is the thing that keeps me going. Totally love the animals and everything, although the deer do push my limits of patience sometimes, but it's all good. So I had heard, I was doing research because, oh, it's really expensive to eat vegan and all of this stuff. And like, how do we do it? And my ex had said, Will, spoiler alert, we broke up. Not in case anybody wasn't sure where this was going, but my ex had said, we should get a farm. We should find some land, get a farm, you grow the food, and I'll build things. I said, that sounds like an excellent idea, right? And so then I'm looking, and I think about this all the time, because when I looked up researching, I just came across videos and articles that said, yeah, you know, you should have chickens for this and goats for that, and their poo-poo and fertilizer and all that stuff. And I was like, oh man, I just gave up having eggs over easy. I'm not going to have an animal, like, right? Okay, so Karen, I'm just a Puerto Rican girl from Jackson Heights, Queens. I've never done anything with chickens. I've never had to hurt anything except roaches, water bugs, and rodents. So there we go. And I said, I can't do this. You know what? Then I said this to myself. I said, why do I have to try so hard? Okay. No one in my family's ever been a farmer. If they have, they're still on the island. You know what? I'll just keep on living off the system, stay in the program. That's where I'll be. Fine. Then comes 2017, and I'm sitting down, going away, retouching, listening to positive, reinforcing information. And then I hear Will, and I'm like, okay, I like this guy. I like what he's saying. What? What's veganic? And everything just changed. And it was just this, if you just forget about Will and you forget about the person who's like the persona, it's words of empowerment that said, you can do this. Mm-hmm. All you need is to go to the land, look for these browns, look for these greens, create it. And that's the fertility. Cause like the animals aren't like, we're all consumers. I'm a consumer. Animals are a consumer. What is the thing that doesn't consume? The grasses, the prairies, the forests. How do they? There's a natural ecosystem that's happening all around us. And the forests don't need moo-moos, and the forests don't need that. That was like, snaps, who's this guy? And Karen, as soon as your interview finished, and if you've heard Will Bonzo, you're like, okay, so I spent 25 minutes. I'm still on the clock. Sorry, Vicky. And I'm on the clock, and I composed the best. I spell checked it 3 times, used big vernacular to contact Will. And about half an hour later, he responds back to me. I get chills.
Wow.
And he said, Okay. Yes, I do take apprentices. Thank you for listening. I do take apprentices, but I can't afford you right now. Mm. So why don't you go get some experience? I had said, I don't have any experience, but I'm ready. I'm ready to learn. I'm totally passionate. And so he says, go get some experience and then we'll try again next year. I said, okay. So I went and I got experience. Now, if Will is my farm father, this is where I first came across my farm mother. Her name is Marissa, and she is the director of Earth Matters, and it's on Governor's Island. So she does the Compost Learning Center, and right now they're Soil Start Farm, NYC. And so I went there, I started learning about composting, I did the farm, and fast forward, it's 2018 now, and I kind of decided that maybe this relationship isn't serving me. There's a lot of other things that came about, and I'm still am interested in herbs and healing. Everything just came back to healing. I think when we are looking at ourselves and we're trying to detox from the rodeo life of city or whatever's happening with us, we start making changes, and the changes is the fuel that we're putting in our body, like the food. And then what can help aid the food? Well, we've got the herbs and all of these things. I said, you know what? I think I'm done. Mm. Well, you say that all the time, Desiree. And I said, yeah. But I really think it is, right? So I had one of two options. I either had to find an apartment and roommate with someone, which I wasn't making a lot at the time, and that was just really going to be impossible, or I had to go and relocate with my parents that are down in Florida. They moved during the recession. Mm. Or I can try my hand one more time at farming. And so I reached out to farmers at Mofka, and somehow or other, I found this one that I had settled on. And he had said he wasn't going to have any animals anymore. And I said, you wouldn't happen to be a veganic farm. And he said, no, but if that's what you're interested in, you should try Wilbonzol. And I said, I love Wilbonzol. And then we're on a Zoom call, and we spent a half an hour talking about how amazing Wilbonzol is. And he says, well, we really like you, but that guy could always use help. Wouldn't you believe it? So it's 10:30 at night, and I'm still at work. And I'm like, I'm not going to get home. I missed the train. I'm going to get home by like 11. I was living in East New York at the time. I said, I'm going to send this email out, and I'm going to just try again, whatever. By the time I get home, it's 11:45, 12:15. And Will sends me an email because he's a night owl. And he said, yes.
Wow.
I do remember you. And I was just about to say that I can't afford an apprentice, but something told me I should go and check the envelope. And so I did. And it turns out that I was a good boy and I saved a bunch of money. I can't afford an apprentice. So let's talk. We just had one talk, and he liked something about me. And so then I came here. And so my journey started from 2018. So I've been an apprentice. I came back for 2 years. So I apprenticed at Kadigar. So the name of this farm is Kadigar Farm. And it's a veganic subsistence homestead where we don't use any domesticated animals at all. And it's also connected to a seed saving project called the Scatter Seed Project. So he's also a very well-known seed saver. And so I came here in 2018, had a really wonderful time, learned a lot. And then I hadn't even finished 2018. I'm only here for like maybe 5 months. And 5 months into it, I said, you don't happen to looking for another apprentice? Cause I kind of want to come back again. And, he's like, no, you're going to come back, and you're going to come back as a worker or whatnot. Oh. Anyway, I came back as an apprentice again. And I had a really wonderful time. It was great. I learned a lot of stuff, right? I had never operated a chainsaw. I had never mown before. I had never put up a deer fence. I got electrocuted. I learned so many things, and he's like, you're going to be so much fun. You're just like a blank slate. Very quickly, this one, just to show how I'm not, you know, I still get scared outside at night. Like, it's really dark. I'm not a fan of forests. When I can look at the sky and there's stars, I feel overwhelmed. There's still these city aspects of myself that feel really insignificant. And one time, it was my first breakfast. And on our interview, he had mentioned about he makes apple cider. He's the best apple cider. He has he'll collect 8 or 10 varieties of apples, put them all together, and then that's who have this magical thing. And so we're going to have breakfast and we're eating. And he says, my God, what kind of a host am I? You got to get the cider. And so here's what you don't know about me, Karen, and fellow listeners. I hate cider or apple juice. I think it's abhorrent. My younger sister loves it. And I'm like, this tastes like watery stuff. We'll just say stuff. I don't understand it. So he brings it out and it has this color. And I said, okay, Jezeray, just take a sip, tell him thank you, and don't have it again. And figure out some other kind of drinking thing that you can have for the rest of the 7 months that you're going to be here, 6 months. So I drink it. And I said, wait a minute, what is this? And he's like, it's apple juice, girl. And I said, this is not apple juice. This is like heavenly nectar. I don't understand. I said, I hate apple juice, Will. He says, you should have told me. I wouldn't. And I said, no, this is great. And he's like, oh, you poor girl. You've probably only had Macintosh apples all your life. And I said, there's other apples, right? Like, I didn't know, like, oh, there's other apples. And he's like, oh man, we're going to have so much fun. You're going to learn so much stuff. And I'm going to have a ball like teaching you.
Wow.
So he's really, really giving. Context. So when you come here, things have been changing. But when I came here in 2018 and 2019, there's a main house where his family stays, and then the apprentice either stays at a bunkhouse, which is tipping over. And so that's where I stayed, and I stayed there from April till the first that year. I was really gutsy, and I stayed up until October, the first week of October, and it started getting really cold. So 6 months. So I was here for about six, almost 7 months. And then I did the same thing in 2019. So you'll come and go, and you'll come and go. Right now, this year, however, I've come back 2021. There wasn't anybody here for 2020. Mm. Will did what he can, subsistence-wise, by himself. And so 2021, I came here in March. So I didn't really experience the main winter yet. I just experienced a lot of cold. And I'm here until October, November. And so we'll be seeing what happens. And then I'm going to try and see if I can go away for a little bit and hunker down and try and find some more work that can pay me a little bit more and possibly return. I had an epiphany that came to me. We could talk more about that. If you'd like.
Sure. What a great story. So we're at a place on this planet, or especially in the, I hate the word developed nations, because I don't know how developed we are. We seem to have lost a lot of intelligence and a lot of experience and knowledge that are necessary for life. And we've gotten to a place where we try to make everything efficient, which is a word that I hate. Some ways we've taken the romance out of farming. Now, I'm not saying farming is easy. it's not, because you have to deal with nature, and nature isn't always friendly or forgiving, but farming has provided food for people. And we started out with small family farms, and I don't know, I haven't lived on a farm, and I didn't live on this planet hundreds, thousands of years ago, so I don't know exactly what happened. But I do know what's happening now, and farms are being gobbled up. Small farmers can't afford to survive by growing food and selling their food, because the pricing now of so many foods is managed by people that know nothing about farming. And it's really gotten out of control. And as a result, soil on so many giant farms is dead, and they can't grow anything on it unless they add all of these petrochemical fertilizers, and everything is out of balance. And as a result, I mean, we all know this, we have global warming because we're taking carbon out of the earth and we're putting it into the soil, and then it goes out into the air and it's warming up the air, and the intense amount of pesticides and herbicides are going into the water and we're polluting the water. So we've made a big mess. And plus, most of the stuff that people are growing on these giant farms is food to feed animals, to feed people. So we're getting all these chronic diseases. One thing leads to a disastrous other. And we need people like you, young people, to get interested in farming and bring us back. And maybe not bring us back the same way. Kind of marry some of the good things we've gotten from technology, but do things on a smaller level with more diverse foods. And the seed saving that Will is doing is so important, because agribusiness is getting us away from so many different foods and varieties of different things, because it's easier, more efficient, I'm putting up air quotes here, to grow the same thing rather than a variety of things. And we're losing a lot. We're losing a lot of diversity. And as a result, things are out of balance. We have insects that we call pests. They're not really pests, but when they're eating too much of your crop, they appear to be a pest. But when they're in balance, they can work with you. It's a really complicated mess. So Will has this knowledge that he needs to share with people, and society works against him because it's really hard to survive doing what he's doing in the world the way it is today. You were learning farming in an urban environment to begin with, which it's amazing what we can grow in a city. Okay, so you touched on all kinds of interesting things. Now, Will has experienced some difficulty. We went through COVID and he didn't have anybody helping him. He's getting older. He really needs someone to pass the baton to, pass the pitchfork to. What's happening?
Yeah. There's a few things that came to me as you were saying this. I'm reminded of this wonderful video that I saw on how to build an ownership economy, where the videos show this history of capitalism and not liberalism, but they're basically like the same thing, and like they're on both two different points on a spectrum, and if you move towards one, you're going towards another one. But is there another way? And what does that other way look like? And they talk about industrialism and how the farmers left the farms to go and get these modern conveniences and they just didn't return. And so there were some laws that were passed to try and make things habitable for workers and give them rights. And then unions came about, but there was always this one idea, right? Maybe we should give people ownership. Maybe there should not, you know? So, but that's never happened. And that's just silly. It would never work. So you mentioned Will and how he's here and he's trying to exist in a world where it makes it difficult. And in a few ways that I wish it does exist in the city, he's able to do a lot of things in Maine. Maine is kind of like still a frontier where you can get lost somewhere in here and you can do something before they finally figure out what you're doing. You've made a good living, right? Could be years that they find out what you've been doing. So he's very lucky in that way. Gardening and farming in urban environments, though, however, I think the need is really, I don't want to say the need is really in the cities, but there is something to be said about a densely populated area where people are confined to spaces that cultivate a certain kind of mental health, emotional health, and physical health. And when we have these things together, they till at the very basis of our spirits, our minds, and it can lead us to places. And I was there. Thankfully, I had outlets like Progressive Radio Network, like It's All About Food, so that I'm hearing something every day, every morning. I was listening to something that was like, man, you know what? I think I'm going to go down that route. You know what? Not today. I heard a good piece. I'll just keep on going. So these reminders take the form of radio shows, of broadcasters, of friends, family, whatnot. And especially now during these times that we're in, I think it's even more important. So to kind of bring that back to Will and what that's looking like now, Will is he's a dreamer. He's a dreamer. And anyone who's anyone who comes here, you're gonna get sucked. And I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen with people come here and they're like, yeah, you know, and he'll talk about, he might have mentioned Eve those years ago on your program. And Will has a vision. And I know that it can happen. When will it happen is the question. Mm-hmm. And does he have the patience to sit and walk it through? And so often I find that I feel blessed sometimes to get to see him in moments where he's like, man, you know, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So I can be there to say, you know, I think it will. And I can be that support system. Will would really love it if he can bring back. So Will is trying to be here for his community. And in his way, he wants to be here in his community and support through food, healthy food that doesn't harm the planet environmentally. We're not using gas here. We try not to use gas here, but as time has shown me and shows all of us, you know, all good things come to an end, right? We only have a finite amount of time here. Mm-hmm. So Will is here by himself. He's doing everything by himself. So he's now, he's 72 years young, and he does have to use rooms, as he calls it. If there's more people here, he doesn't have to do that. So if I'm out there in the field with him, we're just sitting down, getting on our hands and knees, weeding and stuff and planting and doing all of these things. We've been very blessed this year. We had two apprentices. One apprentice came. He was here with us for 2 weeks. And then he had to leave for personal reasons. But what a lasting impression he made, right? And we talk about farming and how it's not forgiving, right? And so I'm here I'm like the farm manager-ish along with him. I'm his secretary, his second brain, his public relations person. I do a whole bunch of different things. And I remember saying, well, Will, you know, I think we're biting off a lot we can chew this year. He's like, no, we're going to have Xavier and we're going to have somebody else and somebody else. And I said, yeah, but no one signs any document that says I'm going to stay here and finish out the whole entire year. And then he's like, it's okay. It's okay. Well, it wasn't okay. And so when Xavier left, it was him, he and I, about 2 months, April, May, June. So two and a half months by ourselves. We really got behind. And this was Desiree pulling hundreds of hours of work week. Because I get into this thing where if I'm with someone and I see that they're doing 9-10 hour days, I'll say, I can do 9-10 hour days too, damn it. So we just did it. And it's not glamorous, even though I try, but it's a lot of hard work, but it's so rewarding and it pays off. We then got Julie, who hails from California. We were very, very lucky to get her. She's been studying permaculture out in Great Britain. So it was really great. She's wonderful. I mean, talk about organization. I mean, I'm organized, but it's a whole other thing. So she's still here. We're still together, but it's just all three of us. So just to try and paint a picture, and I know it's kind of hard to do this while we're talking about it, but Will has 80 acres of land, but what we farm on is maybe just 2.5 or 3 acres of cultivated land.
Wow.
Right now we have 9 gardens. So the garden is, so he'll have the lower garden here, which has 3 terraces. Then we have the upper garden. That's just 1 terrace, a big block. And there's even more. Some of them have isolations so that he can save seeds from. And others have just seed saving, scatter seed project seeds. So right now at the very top in Lucian's garden, we've got tomatoes that are interplanted with dry beans to try and save. Down in another isolation on another neighbor's farm, right? We're networking. So we have other places where we have isolations so that the seeds don't get crossed and there's no contamination down there. That's where he always has his potato, where he's always saving potatoes. When I got here in 2018, I remember going down into his cellar and the whole inner wall was just this U of just potatoes and bags and just potato seeds. And this year there aren't any more.
Oh.
So we're losing a lot of things, right? Seed wise. And he says he can get things back. So the USDA knows him. They're great friends. And I remember sending an email out to someone and they said, oh yes, good to see you. We'll send you these right now. Look at these clips. Yeah, I'm really glad I'm seeing your email. You're the name I want to be seeing more because we need to get these things out.
Wow.
So I might go back and forth on talking about scatter seed and the issues that are arising with scatter seed. And then I might talk about the subsistence farming side of things, because then how are we here? How are we maintaining ourselves and what kind of food? How much food are we growing? Are we growing enough for ourselves? And is it nutritious? This year, the reason there's so much strife and not a lot of learning happening this year in terms of my being here and in terms of Julie is because the workload was so high, because Will has finally decided what he wants to be when he grows up. And he wants to be a business person. And I've told this to Will, and I'll say it. He's a horrible business person. Very bad. But his vision and his ideas are really great, right? I think you should let somebody else be the business person. It turns out I'm not trying to be a business person, and it seems I'm a very good business person. You'll say, wow, that's a great idea. That's why I'm here. Well, maybe you're paying. Well, he's not really paying me, but you're not paying me to be here to do that. So yeah. And we've gone commercial, or he's tried to go commercial. And I just think, and I said this before, I said, this is a really great idea, Will. Like, I wouldn't still be here if I didn't believe that something great can come from this, but we don't have enough hands. So farming, and I'm thinking about legacy. What does legacy look like? In the beginning of all of this, Will said, you're going to be the farm manager, right? That's kind of gone over to the deep end now because there's so much food that's coming. Right now, there is food coming on, as we speak. And there's just not enough hands and not enough hours in the day. But Will has had many ideas, many visions. And the biggest vision of all has been that he's always wanted a community of people here. I came here, Julie is here, and I really want to hope that there can be others that can come here. But what does that look like? What does it sound like? And can we step outside of ourselves? Can we not be in front of ourselves and not cut us down at the knees and recognize people are coming here for growth? But how can we support them? If we cannot support them financially, in what other ways can we support them? If it has to be financially, what can we do to be bringing that in? And my ideas that Julie has mentioned, and another wonderful friend of the farm, dropping her name right now, Doshani. She's absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. She's working on a vegan activism book that touches on environmentalism. She's just great. I'm plugging her. I love you, Dashni. The book is happening. So we all kind of sat together and we were like, where can this go? We feel like, and Will has agreed. He sees it. He sees the potential in it. We think this farm right now needs to go back to the book. The book. The book is everything. This farm needs to be a living example of what that book is. So we need to go back to permaculture crops. We need to go back to, okay, in the book, Will talks about, yes, you know, we're not going to be selling vegetables. We're going to be doing things for us. But how do we get into the market? We get to the market with niche crops. There's a wonderful community. They're a subsistence community. And what do they do? How do they make money? They're a seed company. There's other people who they sell kiwis and they have nursery stocks. They have hazelnuts. People love that stuff. I've spent close to $50 for hazelnut butter.
Sure.
I love that stuff. Put it on everything. So there are ways. And now we're also saying, Will, no offense. Nobody cares about what your carrots taste like because you've never grown carrots for anyone. But people want you to talk about carrots, propagation, weeding, rutabaga sex. They want to hear all of that information because he says it in the way that he can only say it. I mean, others can say it, but he's very, very entertaining. But he brings farming and gardening to a level of we're all people. And this is not some educational thing where, oh, I'm a higher status, higher mental functioning person, and I can be able to tell you this stuff. No. He's like, you're a normal person. I'm a human being. This is how we do it. And this is what can be done. And so when I hear him talk about this stuff, this has led me to, well, what does Desiree want to do? Because I'm here and I'm soaking up all of this information, hoping to give it back to this place in work, sweat equity, in however, which way I can. But I'm also trying to keep in mind that there is a place that I hold very dear, like the way Will holds it, Maine, very dear. I'm reminded of this email from a man in Brooklyn. And he came across our website and he saw that we were offering a CSA of veganic produce. And he said, we want it. And then I said, Will, this is great. I selfishly thought this might be my first opportunity to actually give something that I've been a part of back to New York. And he's like, who cares about New York? Maine is the center of the universe. I'm like, and I get where he's coming from, but wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful to be able, or at least for me, to be able to look at what Will's doing, but I don't think what Will is doing, it can all work for New York. It's too much of a dense population, not enough leaves. Where, like, I think there's a way that in a shifted kind of way, we can bring this information to places like New York, to places where people aren't getting enough good, nutritious food to help them start making shifts in the paradigms of their reality. So that's kind of like, that's where my thinking is. I've already been connecting with people who really like my energy, that really are caring about the things that I'm talking about. And I'm working on things in the very least to try to connect to community gardens that are out in East New York, to offer classes, even consultations, and just getting people out there to see, you know, there's food security, water security, and housing security, and all of these things are really coming up as issues right now. And if we can at least get one of those things kind of taken, get a hold of it, maybe it can make their lives just a little bit easier.
Desiree, I love your vision. And I really hope that you continue on this path that you're figuring out is you, because it's something that we definitely need. During the pandemic, I think it was very obvious that food is essential. We kept hearing about essential workers and how do we get our food? Because all of us in this urban world, we're not growing food and everybody was panicking. We need food. I think we're forgetting it again, unfortunately, this importance that we need food. And I don't know what the best way is for humans to live. I like to think that it's more efficient, that word that I hate, where we all live together. But if we could all live together in a way that is sustainable, that would make sense. So to have small local farms all around us in an urban environment nearby, and then also growing things in the urban center can work and can work well. And I mean, just as an example, I buy from Whole Foods a lot, and Whole Foods has become very frustrating since it was purchased by Amazon. It's gone downhill and you can really see the difference. So there really isn't a place where you can buy the freshest, healthiest food. You can join a CSA and get things from local farmers, but we need more and we need better. And I would love it all to be veganic, of course. I mean, why do we need to exploit animals to fertilize our soil? If you want to have an animal on your farm, that's great, but you don't have to kill them. You don't have to abuse them. If you like having goats and cows around, fine. Let them graze and feed and poop, but do you have to take their milk? Do you have to take their eggs? Do you have to take their babies? Do you have to kill them? No. And you said that Will is a dreamer. First of all, I love the name, his name. His name is Will. And to me, that kind of embodies who he is. He will. Either he wills it, he makes it happen. He doesn't say, no, I can't. He will. But being a dreamer is difficult. We need dreamers because they're the ones who come up with where we're going. They come up with our future. You need to dream it. You can't just stay status quo. But so many dreamers, not just in farming, but in so many avenues of life, they're not supported. And it's really next to impossible to fulfill their dream because they need support. They need help. They need people behind them. And in this world today, unless you can profit from your idea, unless you come up with like the best vegan burger, it's hard to get investors behind you because the investors want to get a return on their investment. if we put the value to what broccoli really is, or to what all these foods are, foods would be even more expensive because we put greater value to things that don't nourish us, don't allow us to live. There needs to be balance. So people need to make a livable wage so that they're interested in growing food. We have a lot of changes to make. So in order to support Will's dream, there needs to be a lot of change in our society. And I see some of that. I see little pockets here and there. It's a challenge, and it's unbelievable what he's done. You need to continue doing what you need. And I'm kind of concerned about what's going to happen to his farm when he's not able to farm it. Is there a future? And the seeds. We need to be saving all of these seeds. And so tell us, I mean, you may want to respond to some of the things I've said, but also what can we do to support any of this?
Yes, I thought about two things as you were speaking. What came to me was, Will likes to say, you know, are we asking the right questions? Mm. And so when I hear you say, when we look at animal agriculture and we're looking at like, oh, okay, there's people who are saying, well, you've got to do this to bring the fertility back. You've got to do this. And that's the only way. It isn't the only way. And I guess if somebody does want to do that, or I try to come to people when I'm having conversation with people and somebody asks me about my veganism, I try and meet them where they are, right? You might get hit with someone who says, oh, you're vegan. Okay. Well, I only do a pescatarian Monday or something like that. And I'm like, it's all good, bro. You know, like we're all on our journeys. So Will say, you know, if somebody's talking about farming and they're saying, yes, you know, I'm doing the best that I can and I'm bringing a lot of fertility back by using that goat poop. No, just we have to call it what it is. You are bringing fertility into it, but that fertility is not the Shangri-La of fertility, right? It had to go through a process where it was broken down and it's there. It is somewhat there, but don't think like, oh, this is really going to help my thing. I mean, it'll do something, but it's not. So what are we looking at? Bang for buck? Because if you the most bang for your most buck, you know, you had to pay for that body to be there. You have to feed it water. It's going to get sick at a certain point, and it needs area to graze, right? And if you don't have that area, you didn't put that money and you don't have the land to graze, then all of these things. So somebody came to me and said, Desiree, I want to do what you're doing, but I've always wanted to have a goat farm. You can have your goat farm. I really don't think, you know, I don't support that, but I support you and your dream to do it. And so I would say, hey, what's the best way to help? What's the best way that I can help you get to your dream? Just think small, save money, do vegetables, put your efforts into that, and then buy some more acreage and then grow it, because it's very easy. You're going to be out, you're going to be farming. It's really tough. Nature's hard to forget, is not forgiving. We have to be kind to ourselves, because if you're going to go down this journey, you could be doing this for years and then we don't want you to burn. We want people to be out here, to be doing this work. We don't want you to burn out. How can we be kind to ourselves? Start small, invest little, money is very tight, so and build it that way, right? I always say, if I'm going to heal someone and I'm going to try and convince someone, yeah, you should really have like this tincture of stinging nettle, what am I going to use? 100% grain alcohol, and that stuff is horrible and gross. No, I'm going to use some nice vodka with a little bit of glycerin, make it nice and sweet. And then you're like, oh. Because if that person's like, this plant is going to help aid my inflammation in my joints, yes, but I hear the sarcasm in your voice and you don't believe it. Try it. Okay, I'll try it because it tastes good. We want this to taste good. Second thing I thought of was crops. There are certain crops that take a lot of fertility. And, you know, when we look at fertility loss, we're like, is it really worth it? Will would say yes, because I want my corn. He loves his corn. So, right? But then how do we offset these things? By going into the forest and bringing in that fertility, because that tree is going down into layers of earth that our grasses can't go into, even the most ridiculous of weeds, even witchgrass that can go down feet deep, isn't going to pump the nutrients that tree is going to give. And where does it come out? It comes out in the leaves. And what do we do with those leaves? We put it in our compost, we put it out on the soil, and it gets returned back into it, right? So this is a way to bring power back into ourselves without the use of these animals that go through so much, right? There's a cost to everything. So I'm trying to offset my costs financially, compassionately, as a person. You then went into asking about legacy and what does that look like? And what can be done and how can people help? Will says this, has this saying, if you want Maine well, like if you want Maine to be well, keep it green, send money. If you want Maine green, send money. And that's not always, I set up, I'm actually forgetting all the great things I've done for Will. He has a Facebook page. It's Scatter Seed Project. You could search Will Bonzoller's Scatter Seed Project on Facebook. He has an Instagram account. And he has a Twitter account, and he does have a Patreon, and his Patreon does have supporters, and I've said this over and over, and I continue to say it to people when I can't get to them on his email, but I always am apologizing because there's so many things that get ahead of us, and it really takes a team. Just for Will Bonzall, you know, he should be outside with two or three people, and then he should have a team of people in the house. There's so many jobs I can name, and I wish that there would be a way to be able to support people who would do it, but we have had people who have come just this year alone. In fact, if you wanted to apprentice with Will, I created the application that you fill out to come here, and then we do a Zoom meeting. So we've had three apprentice applications, and we're speaking to apprentices. We've had two people who came, they emailed us, they filled out an application, but we said, we don't want to apprentice. We actually want to be a part of the community. There's a lot of things. We need infrastructures to be built here so that we can offer people spaces, safe spaces to come and visit and do work visits and say, hey, you know, I just came here for a work visit, but I really like this place. I want to stay here for six months. Great. Just continue to live in that little place that we put you in and help. Like, there are things that we certainly do need.
I hate to jump in here, but yeah, we've come to the end of the hour. And we could talk about this all day long. I can tell it's just really fascinating. And I'm really glad that you were able to share everything that you did. And I will add some links to this post for people who might want to know more about everything that you've mentioned so far. I'm glad that Will is on the planet doing what he's doing. And I'm so glad that you found him and he found you, and you're in some ways continuing the legacy or adding to it or building on it. It's all so necessary. And I'm so glad you reached out. I really hope I can get to Maine one day and see the farm and meet everybody.
You've got a place here.
That's really
lovely.
You're always
welcome.
Yeah, and I've had some ideas as we've been talking, so maybe we can continue our conversation offline by email. I'm sending you a hug, and I'm giving Will a hug too. Please let him know that I'm behind him. And I wish you all the best. So thank you for sharing this story and Will's dream and what's happening. All the best.
Thank you so much, Karen. So grateful.
Okay. Keep at it. Go, Desiree.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
That was Desiree Marzan. It was a joy for me to speak with her and learn about her journey that started right here, listening to It's All About Food. Do you have a story to share? Has this program enhanced your life in any way? Please let us know at info@realmeals.org. Before I let you go, I want you to know about a new online course, the Healthy Heart Masterclass with Dr. Mimi Guarneri. You can probably guess that she is going to teach about the importance of a whole food plant diet, but she brings a lot more heart to her practice. She talks about the importance of many other factors that affect the heart, emotions, and stress, and offers holistic solutions that are backed by the leading edge of medical research. Visit responsibleeatingandliving.com to find out more and to register for your free spot. In the meantime, everybody, have a delicious week.